Good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, May the 16th, 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. And I want to do a few programming notes before we get to our guest this hour. Coming up tomorrow on the program at 12:10, we'll be joined by actress best known for her role as Mrs. Cunningham on the TV series Happy Days and author of the new book My Days Happy and Otherwise, Marion Ross, tomorrow at 12:10. And at 1:10 tomorrow, Thursday, Mayor of the City of Marion, Scott Scherzer. We have not had him on in quite some time, I think close to a year and a half, so it'll be good to have the mayor on tomorrow at 1:10. Coming up next hour today, at 1:10, we're going to be joined by Emmy Award-winning actor for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show and Santa in the movie Elf, and author of the book The Grouchy Historian, Ed Asner, today at 1:10. Also, don't forget, Friday night, this coming Friday night, we will be broadcasting live from Huntington Park, home of the Columbus Clippers, from 5:30 to 6:30, and then 8:10 to 9 p.m. We'll have interviews with players, fans, and special guest Dennis Haskins, who portrayed Mr. Belding on the hit TV series Saved by the Bell, and we'll also be joined for the broadcast by the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, a good friend of this station over the years. The event is supported by the committee to elect Jeff Ratliff, county prosecutor, so all kinds of stuff coming up over the next couple days. Now, this hour, we're joined in studio, as we are each and every Wednesday from 12:10 to 1 p.m., by Barbara Wagner, a psychic, taking your calls on anything, 740-383-9944. Barbara, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You know, last week, the talk was all about love.
It was.
And I don't think we finished, so we'll probably continue on that topic this week. And we do have calls. We already had somebody call off the air. So if you want to call and ask Barbara anything, feel free to do so. The lines are open, 740-383-9944. If the line is busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling back until you get in. We do this every Wednesday from 12:15 until 1 o'clock. So that's how it will go over the next hour, 740-383-9944. So, Barbara, the talk last week was about love, and it was about how I don't think people are really in love. I think people love the ceremony, and this is a good time of year to talk about it because a lot of people get married in the month of May and June.
Right, right.
So why do you think that is? Do you really think people are in love?
I think their definition of love changes. So think about what your belief structure is like. You know, we change our beliefs usually as we grow and mature. And so immaturity plays a part of that, definitely.
I think it's, I think internet plays a part in this. I think it has changed what we see. It's easy to find people now.
Right.
I mean, I have seen people look at other people's device and say, oh, see, you were talking to a girl, you were talking to a guy.
Right.
You know, how can you get beyond that?
Well, you know, so the best thing to do would be to put your device down and, you know, try to meet people in a more organic setting. But I also want to talk about the influence from cable TV and the reality shows, which if you understand how reality works, reality are scripted. So not to every single line that people say, but reality shows, they tell people what to do and they like to stir up controversy and create excitement. And a lot of that excitement comes in the form of drama.
Don't you think, though, there's a lot of drama in life anyway?
There is. And we help create that ourselves because we get addicted to suffering. And so you get in a low place and it's hard to get out of it, especially if you haven't been raised with tools on good mental hygiene, which I'm talking about mental health and you have a good solid foundation in life, a good core, solid core that you operate from, you'll just flutter around from thing to thing, and you'll never know where to land, and you'll always be upset, and you'll always be sensitive and people hurting you. And so you really have to take charge of your own life. And if you haven't been given the tools to do that, that can be difficult.
Well, I always wonder, because I see people who are getting married, and I know they have to look at the other person, and they see flaws. And then they say, but I love them. Well, see, that doesn't compute for me. Because if you know their flaws, then what is it you love? Is it just that feeling you get?
So, yes. When we are incarnated here, we are given different sets of tools on how to sense life. So feeling, thinking, and then using our extra senses, our intuition. And if you have a good grasp on all of that and you have a solid core, you're going to realize that just because a person has some flaws, I'm also flawed. You know,
sure.
And so are those flaws livable? Can I live with that? Or are those flaws more like abuse and I need to get away from that?
But what is that feeling you get, which seems to trump all?
Well, it's the overwhelming feeling of, I would say part of it comes down to safety. Do you feel safe with this person? Are they compassionate? You know, how do they view your needs? And how do you view theirs? And are you able to meet in the middle, you know? And how do you put in place priorities for that relationship? What are your priorities? And so it sounds selfish, but your priorities need to be yourself, number one. Because if you aren't healthy and in a good spot, you're not going to be good for anybody else. So you have to meet your own needs, physical and emotional. And if you can meet your own needs, physical and emotional, then you can help someone else meet theirs.
Well, I'll tell you where this premise for me has come from. I worked in a restaurant when I was in college and high school, matter of fact, and I would watch people. Now, the clientele of the restaurant I worked in, I mean, it was all ages, but there were a lot of senior citizens who came in who had been married a long time. Now, my guess is that they would consider those successful marriages. They've been married for 50, 60 years, and I assume at some point they were in love and everything was going on, but they would sit there and they wouldn't talk to each other, and to me, that didn't look like love anymore. I think they enjoyed being around other people. They enjoyed being around their kids. And I always bring it up. I've seen people separate later in life, and I have seen people, somebody dies. And when you go to the, usually the woman outlives the man, and you go to the woman and you say, well, you know, grandpa's dead. Would you like to be with somebody else now? And I don't give me another old man. I don't want to take care of another old man. Now, see, they're not in love anymore.
Right. Well, so some of that is value judgment, because we really don't know what's going on in someone else's relationship. You don't know all the ins and outs of what's going on in their home and what they've been through. But I understand what you're getting at as far as what does a good relationship look like?
Yeah.
And how are you able to maintain it? And it really comes down to how are you viewing the other person, right? So you may have started out with the rush of emotion, which we all know in the beginning settles down and changes. And so once it settles down and changes into a daily routine, can you survive the daily routine? How do you bring in love and compassion and excitement into your relationship? And again, that to me, that comes back to priorities and how much effort you want to put in. You are going to get, there's a saying in the metaphysical world, which is energy flows where focus goes. So if you make the person that you committed to and love your number one and you put focus towards that, the general rule is you're supposed to get that back. However, there are people that aren't as evolved. So if you're further evolved than another person, now you're in a relationship that's off balance. So it's really important to find people who are your equal.
You know, this all reminds me of a joke. It's a joke in a way, and I'll tell it.
Okay.
I really believe there's a little more to it than that. And the joke is the guy goes to his doctor. And the doctor says, I'm sorry to tell you, but you've only got 24 hours to live. And so he goes home and he tells his wife, he says, I'm sorry, I've only got 24 hours to live. And they say, okay, but we're going to make this the best 24 hours. So he says, let's go to the best restaurant in town and have the best meal possible. So they do that. And then they go out and he says, well, let's go and let's dance at the best dance hall we can find. And they do that. And then they go home. And he says, you know, let's have the best night together that we've ever had all through the night. And she says, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't have to get up in the morning. And I think that's it.
Oh, okay. Well, that was funny.
Well, I think there's a truism in that. Because I think that really is it. You know, when you're in love, in the beginning of a relationship, you don't think about going to work in the morning. You don't care about that. I mean, you'll travel to a house and take your clothes, and you will never be seen from again, and you will go on 30 minutes sleep. But that does not last forever.
Right, right, right. Well, I will say there is a reason why there's so many songwriters and poets and sages that talk about love and really try to define it. But we are, I'm going to get a little religious here. Hope that's okay with everybody. But we are shown by God what the ultimate love is. And that is devoid of any negativity, judgment, or hate. And that is such a high ideal that most of us think, well, I can just never attain that. And we're not supposed to attain it in the physical unless you seek enlightenment, and then that's not really a guarantee. That's a whole other topic. But really, we're supposed to try to embody that. And so we know we're not perfect, and we're probably going to have to apologize for some things. But if you always step back and take a beat and say, how's the most compassionate way I can show my love and appreciation to my spouse or my child, you know, in this moment? And most people don't do that. They just rush through things during the day, and they just have a reaction, and then they just voice right away what they're thinking and feeling. Sometimes just taking a beat and stopping and going inward and saying, this doesn't feel good. How can I be more loving in this situation? If more people did that, we would be in such a better place in this world.
Well, and I think sometimes reality does not fit the situation. They used to call that looking through rose-colored glasses.
Right.
Because every winter, I get this, because a lot of times winter, you know, everybody gets their nice clothes on and their nice winter things, and they're going out and doing things, and they're going to dinner because the outside activities are not going on anymore. And it's always, and the people always come and say, well, wouldn't that be fun, you know, to go ice skating and do all of that and so on and so forth? And I think, well, yeah, that is your illusion of what would happen. But the reality is, you take her out, and then you go ice skating, and she falls down and breaks her leg. And then you've got to take her to the hospital, and then she blames you for not catching her, and then you've got to take care of her for the next 3 months because she can't walk on her own, and she's in pain. Now, that's reality.
Or you could fall down and break your leg.
Right. So then I'm out of it, and I'm angry with her because we wouldn't have been there if...
Or you could have a really good time.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, you could. You could. So I know where you're going with this. You're trying to say that people aren't seeing other people for who they really are.
They don't.
And that is a skill that gets developed. It really does.
I just think people are afraid to be alone.
I think people are afraid of commitment more than they are of being alone. I understand what you're saying. It's like a double-edged sword, okay? So they don't want to be alone, so they settle, right? That's where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So they settle. They're like, oh, the first person I have the most little bit of feeling for, I'm going to go for, and I'm going to try to hang on to them. But that is not everybody. Everybody's not like that.
I know the divorce rate has went down, but I think that's in direct regard to not as many people getting married.
I think it also helps that people are waiting. There was a whole thing that was done about, I heard a comedian the other day on TV talking about how people in New York City don't get married until they're 40.
Good.
And so again, you're allowing yourself to have some life experiences to grow and mature. But then there are stories of people who have been childhood sweethearts and they last, you know? And so I think when you talk to them, they understand that not everything is permanent. Okay. Things come and go in life. And so you got to weather the storm sometimes, right? And you got to do the good times with the bad, and you got to have a sense of humor. And you really need to keep affection in place, because when affection goes away, the feelings start to wither. It's like watering a plant. You know, the plant will only survive so long without water. It's got the soil, it's got the sun, but if you don't have that extra ingredient of water in there, it's not going to last. And so affection is huge, whether it's just physical or verbal, you know, and you're verbalizing your love and appreciation for someone. Affection is a necessary thing, separate from physical intimacy.
Well, but I think, I don't know where that gets lost. See, because I don't know if that's forever. I don't know if you can keep that going forever.
Well, what is your intention? You know, what is a person's intention on a daily basis when their spouse walks in the house? Are they like, here, you do the kids in the house, I'm leaving? Or is it, I'm really glad you came home, it's so good to see you. You know, what can I get you something to drink or a glass of water or whatever? And let me put your bag down for you. Or, you know, it's like, how are you greeted when you walk in the door? Those little things really set the tone.
They do. And I think in some way, there was a story we did on a current event show a few weeks ago about how, I forget how exactly it was, but a woman had kept a love letter that her first boyfriend, who she did not marry, had sent her. And her husband found out about it, and he did not like that. And the question then was, do you keep those things? Should you keep those things? Because is there some significant attachment to those that supersedes your marriage? Maybe the situation just wasn't right with the person who was your first love. See, how many loves do you get? See, I've seen people like on Love 53, and by that point, I think it's just automatic pilot.
So this is a really good question, thank you, because there's so many different answers to this, one of which I was just talking with somebody the other day about how people get addicted to the newness of a relationship. And so they never commit because they always like that first blush where everybody's being really super nice to each other and it's exciting. You don't know what the next move is going to be. And, you know, they have to work hard to impress you and that kind of thing. And so I think there is some folks that do get addicted to the excitement of a new relationship. So having said that, you know, what I think people really need to look inside and say, what are my goals? What do I want to achieve in my relationship? Why do I need a relationship and why do I want a relationship? If that work can be done before you meet somebody, that's more knowing yourself and knowing what your needs are and meeting those needs and being your own advocate and being your own best friend before somebody else comes along and you're so dependent on them that they can ride roughshod over anything. And, you know, there's no respect in a relationship like that. You want respect in a relationship. So I do advise people, really go inside and say, you know, what are my needs? What do I need? And can this person meet those needs?
And I want to say again, because I think it's important, I'm not saying all relationships are bad.
Right.
My parents were married when I was born. They were married for a long time until one of them died. So my parents never divorced. I never came from a divorced household. My grandparent, one set of my grandparents were married for almost 70 years. The other set were married almost 50. Now, they did get a divorce at 50 years.
Wow.
But they were married a long time. My family members are married. But, see, I think of that as a, it can work. So I guess I'm not condemning all relationships. I'm just saying, to me, in this particular situation, I would rather be a witness than a participant in the accident.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I do want to add one other thing. I'm a big proponent of therapy, okay? And so one of the things that therapists will say is, you know, people have a tendency to grab on to the first life raft that floats by, you know, and if it's inflated enough to hold you up, you latch onto it and you go with it. And so people may deny over and over, no, I didn't grab a life raft. But I bet after the marriage is over and they sat and looked at it, they would realize, yes, I did, you know, and so that's not to judge them. That was just the point in their life they were at, and they needed support, and that was the only way they were getting it. It's just good to point out that there's other ways to get support, you know, without finding the first life raft that floats by and says, yes, I'll commit to you. And, you know, you have some initial feelings, but they may not be strong enough, or the person might not be really healthy for you.
You know, I don't know. And also, maybe it's because I'm a people watcher. But the other thing I have always noticed is, and it's a peculiar thing, and I've never heard anybody talk about it, and I'm not saying it's everybody, but just some of the people I've witnessed. When a child dies, horrible. Horrible for the people. When a friend dies, that's horrible. But a lot of times, if they're married a long time and the spouse dies, doesn't seem that traumatic to them. I'm sure somewhere it is, but it just seems they're able to talk at the funeral. They're able to function. They're not tearing up. I don't know why. I don't know what that is. I don't know if they feel free all of a sudden. I don't know. It's different.
You know, it may depend on the situation and the person. So they may have done their grieving privately, but then they know they have to show up for a public event and be a certain way. So that's one thing. Depending on the illness, you know, of the elderly person or the older person, they may actually feel relief that that person doesn't have to suffer anymore. As far as the death of a child goes, that's a little different. Parents grieve differently. And so within the marriage, you've got two people grieving two different ways. And grief takes over everything. So it's really hard to support each other in a marriage when you are both feeling grief in different ways. And in some cases, you take turns showing up for each other. It just kind of really depends on the situation. But you are correct in saying the divorce rate is really high where there's been a death of a child. And it could even be looking at the other person as a reminder of the child that was lost. And so it's hard.
Well, I think that's because I've heard so many people say, especially women for some reason, that they did not know what love was until their child was born. And most women I know would put their kids before their spouse. And I think that's right. I think that's what love is. I think that is the love you have. I think, you know, you can divorce your parents.
Yeah.
But you don't see it. So it's, I think that's it. I think that is what the essence of love is. I don't really think it's for people.
So again, this is all dependent on your emotional maturity, because we do know that there are psycho mothers that take love too far.
Overprotective. Sure.
Right. And they're just like all up in their kids' business, even as adults, and trying to run their lives. And so we know sometimes that's not good from a psychological standpoint. From a spiritual standpoint, you know, when women give birth, that connection is so strong because they feel like they helped to create this life and now they have to protect it. And that's really, that's a little reptilian brain, right? Like if you go back to caveman times, we had to make sure that our progeny stayed safe. We just had to keep the population going, right? And we had to make sure they stayed safe, and we didn't want them to die or get eaten by dinosaurs. So fast forward to where we're at now, and it's a connection that is really difficult to break. But if you are in an unhealthy situation with a parent and you need to break that off, then that is something that you have to do for your mental health, you know? But I think God sets it up that way so that kids get taken care of, hopefully in the best way possible.
Do want to mention, we did have a call at the beginning of the program. Now, I don't know if they're just listening now, but psychic Barbara Wagner is the guest. If you'd like to call in, we have about 18 minutes left. She's here every Wednesday from 12:10 to 1 p.m. The phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You can ask about anything. You can ask about your love life. You can ask about your future. You can ask about somebody who's no longer here. Anything on your mind. And all you have to do is dial the numbers, 740-383-9944, and don't hesitate calling in, interrupting. Please do. We love to hear from you, the listener. 740-383-9944, and again, we do this every Wednesday from 12:10 until 1 p.m. We talked about this a little bit last week, but when somebody dies, when they come to you, how do they come?
So the way my clairvoyance works is I see things in my mind's eye, and I'm open with my clients, so I don't mind making this public. It's the place in your brain where your imagination works for me. And so I learned through meditation to just make that a quiet place where it's almost kind of like empty. And then spirit can inhabit that and give me words, phrases, and pictures that I can use. I can also sense density and energy. So think about it in this way. When you're driving down the street in the summer and you see those kind of hot waves come up off the pavement, it's almost like that in a way where I can feel like there's a collection of denser energy. So sometimes they come to me before readings, and sometimes they don't, but they can come right up against me into my energy field, which extends about 6 inches from your body, and I can feel them that way. And sometimes I just sense them kind of hanging out a few feet away.
Is there anybody floating around today?
I will say this. I have been given the last 2 days messages about people getting their wings, their angel wings. So a lot of people, what was the Christmas movie, you know, where every time a bell rings.
Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, an angel gets their wings. And so some people have that belief.
And I think we're getting a call here. You're on the air with Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wanting to see if I could ask about somebody in the past.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Someone that's still alive?
No, someone's passed away.
Okay. And can I have your first name?
Vicky.
Vicky?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you, Vicki? Thank you for calling.
Good.
Good. Okay. So, do you have that person's first name? I do what's called target mediumship, and I can ask them to come in.
It's Leonard.
Leonard?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. One moment, please. Okay. So, Leonard is showing me a small dish or container, like a, almost like what I would call a little candy dish in a way, that things would be kept in, either coins or keys or, do you connect with this dish? Do you understand what he's talking about?
Not really.
Okay, that's all right. So what I tell my clients to do is, if you have a pen and paper, to write down what I'm telling you, because someone else may validate that for you later, somebody in the family.
Well, the family is actually blaming me for the reason why he passed away.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, because I didn't call the EMTs fast enough.
Oh, well, okay. So let me just address that without Leonard for a minute, okay? It's easy for everybody to say anything they want when they're not in your shoes and they haven't been in that place. I mean, you can be in a state of shock and not be able to move quickly. So if there was no investigation done and, you know, there's no criminal blame, then sometimes people just need a place to put their grief. And in grief,
right.
In grief is blame, and they want to blame somebody, okay? And so it's just, you don't want a person that died, and you don't, some people blame God, but a lot of people don't want to do that either. So they just find the first available target, and they're the ones that get it, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I blamed myself for a long time, too. It took me a while to go back home, so.
Well, but that's not, that, I'm glad you've gotten past that, because that doesn't do anything. All that does is keep you stuck and hurt. And as long as they continue to blame you, they will also be stuck in their hurt and their grief, because they need to let it go to move on. You know, yes, it was a tragedy that he died. It's a tragedy when everybody dies. You know, we never want our loved ones to leave us. He's also showing me, and I know this is springtime, but he's also showing me bushes that are blooming. So someone may have planted some kind of a blooming bush in his honor, or there may be a bush that he loved. But he is showing me repeatedly this one bush that keeps blooming these flowers that smell really good. I'm not seeing the type of bush it is, but he is.
His mom may have. I don't know, because I haven't actually found out which grave site he's actually at.
Well, do you want me to see if he has a more of a specific message for you?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So he's a little bit practical in nature. And he's showing me that you've been dealt some cards that, I mean, he literally dealt cards onto a table and said, you've been dealt some cards that you have to deal with. But hang on, he's got something else. He's saying, just gather those cards up and set them off to the side. Let it go, let it go. So again, I think the reason you called today was just to get validation, you know, that he's not unhappy with you and that he's okay. Doesn't mean that he doesn't love anybody else in the family, or he's taking your side or anybody else's. It's just acknowledging that you had the unfortunate experience of having to be there at that time, and those were the cards you were dealt. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So let me, he's really talking now. He's talking about a favorite TV program he had. Did you guys watch a TV program together?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's acknowledging that you guys shared TV time together and that that was important to him. You know, even if it was something passive that you're just sitting there doing, he appreciated that. You know, you could have been doing anything else. So he did appreciate that you did that. He's also showing me somebody trying to spoon feed him. So was he having difficulty at the end? Were people having to feed him?
No, No.
That's interesting because he keeps showing me a spoon going to his mouth. Let me see if he'll give me anything more on it.
No, he died really quick, so.
Okay, well, he...
Maybe from where they were trying to, you know, like, bag him and stuff, or where they were trying to save him.
No, this feels more like food. Like, he was actually fed food at one point. So, I don't know if he had an illness at another point in his life and had to be helped, because he's showing
he
me...
He may have, yeah.
He's showing me somebody feeding him, and so he's just acknowledging that he's in appreciation for the times that people helped him and took care of him while he was here. So, and so again, this is another part where it gets difficult, because if you're not in touch with other people that can validate some of the things I'm saying, you know, you're just having to take my word for it. And so I apologize for that, but that's what he's giving me. So, I'm just going to ask, this might not belong to you, but this was another thing I've been getting is wings falling off of angels. Do you have any little angel, you know, tchotchkes or anything, little statues where your angel's wings have been broken or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so they gave me that this morning. I was shown a sign and I asked what it meant, and they said angel wings are broken off. So that belonged to you. That was a message for you. And so, Vicki, I want you to know that both angels, guides, and spirit, and so Leonard's spirit, they can all work together to make things, you know, happen so that you get messages you need. So that's just an acknowledgement that, you know, angels and loved ones in spirit are with you.
And my biggest thing was just to make sure that he was okay and, you know, not, you know, mad at me for everything that happened or whatever. That's what I was having the most trouble with. So
Well, Vicki, he's doing kind of the gentleman's bow where he's like, ladies first. And so he's, you know, wanting to acknowledge that relationship that you guys had and, you know, that he viewed it as something special. And so I'm so glad you called today because that's helpful for you. Please don't blame yourself. It was just, like he said, those were just cards you were dealt, okay? Are you all right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you did the best you could in the situation that happened. He's saying there, even if the EMTs got there sooner, the life extension would have been minimal by minutes. That's what he's showing me, that it wouldn't have mattered. They could have gotten there and they could have done, you know, chest compressions and bagged him and all of that, but it was his time to go, regardless. Okay. I'm sorry for your loss. Well, you know, that's one of the things that happen. We all have a time we're supposed to go. So it may feel weird and it may sound weird, but all he's letting you know is that you're not to blame.
That's good.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. And again, that's fun to do, to take the phone call, 740-383-9944. 54 minutes past the hour, every Wednesday from 12:10 to 1 p.m., Psychic Barbara Wagner is the guest. And if you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944, we can take a question on anything on your mind. We would have time to get another call in today. And remember, if the line is busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep trying back. And if you don't get in this week, Barbara will be back next Wednesday, 12:10 to 1 p.m. But phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I guess there is a lot of guilt and death.
Yeah, there always is, right.
But luckily, not for the person who's dead.
Well, that's an interesting statement. So what they try to do when they cross, they go through kind of a, you know, life review school type thing where they get to see things through the other people's eyes that they dealt with in life. So family members, colleagues, the grocery store clerk, right? So they get to stand in that other person's shoes and see what it was like
to deal with themselves. And that can be a very scary thing. If you think about all the things that have happened in your life and, you know, what your interactions with other people were, there's always ripple effects from that.
I would say that that is definitely true. Hey, you're on with Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi, Barbara. My mother passed away December of the 11th. It'd be 6 years this December. And I just miss her terribly. And I was just wondering, can you tell me if she's with me sometimes, or, you know, is she, because I would love to pick up the phone and talk to her, but can you tell me if she ever tries to get a hold of me, or...
Sure, you know, sure. What's your first name, please?
Linda.
Linda, hi. Thank you for calling. So it's interesting because your mother directed my attention to a photograph that's in here. And she said, you know, a little song, a little dance is always good for somebody. So I don't know if she liked dancing and singing.
Oh, she loved dancing.
Okay. So that's a reminder that just doing that, she's like, all you have to do is a little soft shoe. She's like, if you can't physically do a dance, just do a little soft shoe. Just shuffle your feet and put some music on, because that'll bring some happiness to you and it'll lift your spirits. So yes, she's with you, and she definitely wants you to be a little happier. Here's the thing. When your mom is your best friend, it's totally devastating when they go.
It is.
And I understand completely. So, you know, if you talk to them every day, you know, in the first year especially, you keep trying to pick up the phone and then you're angry because you can't get them, you know. And so I tell clients that want to try to talk to their loved ones, don't focus so much on getting a response as just talking to them. Because their responses have to take a different form for you, and you have to be really on the alert. And if you're hyper alert, you know, then that's all you're going to spend your time doing is looking for signs. But the way to do it is just to say, good morning, Mom, good night, Mom, hi, Mom, during the day, like, Mom, did you see that? They do like to ride in the car, so if you're still driving and you're able to go in the car, they like to be passengers and just hang out and get us.
She did. She loved, if we went anywhere, she'd love to sit in the car and just wait on us and just
right.
So we could be together.
Right.
And it was funny because my dad, my mom left a message on their cell phone.
Oh.
And my dad just had it erased about a few months ago. He didn't realize it was on there, but I would call that message probably 6 to 10 times a day just so I could hear her voice.
Right.
And I am not a happy person right now.
Right.
We're raising my 14-year-old grandson, and I've got my 92-year-old dad and then my husband, and I'm taking care of everybody. So and she had asked me if I would take care of my dad. And so it is very hard.
Sure.
What I do, but...
So I'm not asking you to make any changes. I'm just going to ask you to consider that when your mother made that request, your father was in a different state physically, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it was easy to, you know, make that promise and for her to make that request at that time without the forward knowledge of how long he might live and what kind of condition he might be in. So if you can afford to take care of him and you have the energy for that, God bless you. But your mother will not be mad or upset if you have to make any changes. She's going to totally understand, because ultimately, what is the best care he's going to get? If you are completely depleted, it's hard to do that. So I think you need to be given a little bit of credit for how hard you're working. So
okay.
I'm going to pass that on to you right now and say thank you for trying to be everything to everybody. I know that's hard.
That's what I am right now. I try to do everything, and I don't take care of me.
Right. Well, I'm glad you called. Don't remember.
Oh,
this.
I am.
Don't
too.
Forget about the soft shoe, because she wants you to remember how important that is. Okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And again, now we're out of time, but Barbara Wagner, psychic, will be back next Wednesday, 12:10 to 1 p.m. and the number 740-383-9944. Thank you, Barbara. Coming up in 10 minutes, Ed Asner.
RT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225.